I'm Mike Salem. Today we continue broadcasting Dad's timeless and relevant messages from God's Word. You can also be encouraged through our many resources on our website at cwh.org. We would love to have you invite your friends, family, and neighbors to join us each week. I want to thank you for your kind words to me about my dad. A recent note from the Bahamas reads, "I am so glad you continue to send the gospel to the world through your dad, Pastor Salem. I did not know him personally. However, I felt as if I did since we spoke on the phone several times. I am enclosing this money to help keep CWH on the air." And from Minnesota, "Every Sunday we are blessed with your father's messages thanks to the video recordings, television, and shortwave radio. When Pastor Salem was attending Northwestern Bible College, I bet he could never have imagined that his preaching would continue leading people to Jesus long after he went home to be with the Lord. That is why it is important to us financially to support the Christian Worship Hour. Dad's message today, What Does Real Love Look Like?, gives us a display of different ways in which love shows itself in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just so happy that a week has rolled by, and now here we are. We're going to gather together all around the world, and we're going to gather at the feet of Jesus, and we're going to worship the wonderful Savior. And we're going to talk about loving and be more loving and kind. I think this poor old world needs a lot of that, and it needs to start with the Christians. And so we're just so glad you're with us, and God bless each one of you. We're looking at Psalm 107 today, as the psalmist writes, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And he has gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And oh, dear Lord, that's what we're praying, that we're just giving you praise and thanks for who you are and for all you do to help us. You give our very breath. Every heartbeat we have comes as a gift from you, and you are so good and so loving. And so today, dear Lord, we just pray that all over the world your word will go. Many will come to know you if they don't know you now, and they'll come to the Savior. And Christian people will be encouraged everywhere. We pray these things in the Savior's name. Amen. And Melissa has a song she's going to sing for us now. "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. No one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Before me, the cross before me. right now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back, no turning back.
Thank you, Melissa. God bless you. And that's what we're asking all over the world. Have you decided to follow Jesus? I decided to follow Jesus when I was 10 years old. That's 85 years ago. And it's the most wonderful decision, the smartest decision I ever made. And I wonder what you're following today. Are you following wealth? Are you following popularity? Are you following fame? What are you living for? Everybody's living for something. Everybody has his God. It can be 100 different things. It can be a fence post. It can be a graven image. You're following something. And I have decided to follow Jesus, and it's a prayer on the Christian Worship Hour that every one of you listening today, if you've not done so, you would decide to follow Jesus. And right now, maybe you're saying, well, I don't know. What do you mean by following Jesus? Well, we mean that you take him as your Savior, and then you read the Bible, and you follow him and follow his teachings. And you take Jesus, and you say, I don't know how to take Jesus. I'm too abstract for me. I don't figure it out. And I tell you what you do. Right now, the Holy Spirit is maybe talking to you, and God is telling you, I love you, and I died for you on a cross, and I want you to follow me. I'd like to have you follow me. And if you follow me, I'll give you eternal life, and I'll be with you all the way through this journey. And then when you come to the end of journey, I'll be there. I'll take your hand, and we'll take you through the valley of the shadow of death into heaven. That's what I'll do if you follow me. So to follow Jesus, you just simply pray, Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you, and I'm sorry for my sin. And I'll forsake it and follow you the best I can, but I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin, and I'll be your follower. And then thank him. And then tell somebody what you did. And you'll find peace, and you'll find joy, and Jesus will be in your heart forever. I have decided to follow Jesus. My guess is that there are many that are doing that right now. Well, we have to take some time to read the letters. And we always are happy to get letters. We read every letter we get. If it's a spiritual question, well, then we'll try to answer that for you. If you ask some question like, you know, how many angels can sit on the head of a pin or something like that, well, we got better things to do than to try to figure that out. But if it's a spiritual need, we'll do our best by giving you scripture. We always take the Bible, always comes from the Bible. Here's a letter from Shelby, Montana. I am currently incarcerated at Crossroads Correctional Center in Shelby, Montana. I've been with the Lord for about 3 years now. Growing up, I always believed in God, but I wasn't sure until I was at the bottom of my peak and got locked up in county about 3 years ago. It was there in that dark, cold cell that I was introduced to the Holy Spirit when a young man prayed with me, and that day I let Jesus into my heart. Everything started turning around for me since then. I understand why I was put on this earth, and that reason is to serve the Lord. Although it's a struggle every day, I still find joy and happiness when discussing the Lord with fellow inmates here. Isn't that beautiful? And here he is. He's behind the bars in a prison, but he's free. He's free from his sins. And he belongs to the Lord, and he's living for Jesus, and he's witnessing for Jesus in the prison. And isn't that wonderful? You see, he can do that. If I come down there to say and witness to him, they say, well, here he is. He's a preacher. They're paying him to do it and let him give his talk. But this man, he's one of them. He's amongst them. He's with them. And he can talk to them what Jesus means to them. And I just thrill when I get a letter like this. Oh, a young man walking with the Lord in a prison. Here's Hot Springs, South Dakota. Oh, I like this letter. I was preparing to write you a check for $50, and when I looked down, I'd written it for $100. That is really nice, isn't it? I decided the Lord had decided on $100, so that's what I'm sending. Thank you for all you and everyone does. You have a wonderful outreach for all the Lord's sheep, including the lost sheep. And this is really nice. And so that's what we just say. Ask the Lord how much you should give. You say, first of all, you say, now, dear Lord, do you want me to help this ministry? Is this something you're using? And if you feel like it is, and the Lord says, yes, I am, then you say, well, how much should I give? Just ask the Lord. And because he's the one, we're not underwritten by any organization or church or institution. It's just God's will. Giving as God speaks to their heart. Here's Cocoa, Florida. And this, I like this letter too, because it really speaks something that we need to get people to listen to. Please continue to impress on the people that we accept Jesus through faith and that feelings have nothing to do with it. Some people do have feelings, but a lot of us do not experience this. Your sister in Christ, and she is right on. You know, when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, you may have joy. You may just feel like singing hallelujah, praise the Lord. And then again, you may not feel anything. You're just making an agreement with the Lord. He says, here's a covenant I'll make with you like I made with Abraham. If you put your faith in me and follow me, then I'll be your Savior. And so we just put our faith in Jesus, and that's all there is to it. It's just a contract, an agreement with the Lord. Here's Gardner, Massachusetts. And may God bless your ministry, and may you use this tithe to honor Jesus Christ. Please keep me in prayer for our God to one day open these prison doors and set me free. And so we do pray that God, the main thing is that the Lord is with this person. And he'll never leave you or forsake you. And you may be in the hard places of life, but he'll be with there to help you. He'll see you through. He'll never forsake you. Here is one from Alaska, Wasilla, Alaska. I thank you so much for this special hour. I get to praise the Lord with you and all the great Christians who work with you to bring God's word to all. Bless you. I am a 64-year-old woman who is too sick to go out to my own church for the past 5 years or so. I will be with you. I will be with you if I cannot attend my own church. And we just rejoice because we hear from so many people that just can't get out. Physically, they're unable to get out. And they can have their church. They can worship the Lord where they are. Now, if you can get out and you can get around, try to find a church where they preach the Bible. And then you can get help from that church and you can help the church. And don't look for a church, what can they do for me? But say, what can I do to help the church? That's what you'd need to be doing. Here's Houston, Texas. And they say, this is an expression of thanksgiving to our wonderful Lord Jesus, who made it possible for me to know him more through the Bible Ministry of Christian Worship Hour. And so we just saturate the sermons with the Word of God. And every song they sing about the Lord Jesus or the Word of God or the blessings of God. It's always a scriptural message. And it's all to the glory of God because that's where our help comes from. Comes from the dear Lord Jesus Christ and he's then the Father in heaven. And he sends it through his Word and through his Spirit. And he's real. And he'll help you and bless you. Let me see, one more. Oh, yeah, here it is. This lady writes, and she said, Cambridge, Maine. I've been married twice. My first husband died at the age of 40. I remarried, but I still love my first husband more. Does this mean I'll see him first in heaven someday? Well, we don't know a lot about the heaven and all of that, but Jesus did talk to this matter because the Sadducees came to Jesus one time, and they said, now, in the resurrection, because the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection, so said, if you have a resurrection, you got a problem here, because here's a woman, And she has married seven men, seven brothers. Because in those days, if your brother died, you would take her to be your wife. So you carry on this property they had, the land that they owned. And so it was important that they carry on that seed line. And so they said, here's a man, here's a woman. And she's seven men married her, and they all died. And who's she going to be in the resurrection when we meet in heaven? Whose wife is she going to be in heaven? And Jesus answered in Matthew 22 and verse 30. He said, in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Now, Jesus didn't say we would be angels. People say, oh, he's an angel now. No, he'll never be an angel. He'd be a redeemed soul. Because he says, Jesus says, as the angels. He said they would be as the angels. So how are the angels? Well, the angels are sexless. They're not married or given in marriage. So you don't have baby angels running around. And we won't have to reproduce because we will never die. And we'll always be there with the Lord. So when he's telling us that we will be filled with joy and happiness and happiness, and I don't know how it'll all work, but I can tell you this. When we get to heaven, you don't need to worry about whose husband you had or why or the number or what, if anything else. And you'll never have to worry about sins because they're all washed away in the blood of the Lamb. And we were taught in seminary, how can you be there and then maybe somebody you knew isn't there? And when you get to heaven, the joy will be full. It's just like a bucket of water. It's full of water. You can't put any more in it. And so our joy will be full. I don't know how it all happened. God will take care of that. But the main thing is that we know Jesus and get there. And so if you haven't accepted the Lord, if you want some literature, or if you want to help us in the work, you can write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we need to have we want to hear from you and what you're thinking and if you have a suggestion or if you have a question. But we need to have your help. And you know, James says, you have not because you ask not. So if we never say we need any help, you probably think, well, they probably got an oil well somewhere in the backyard. They probably got all the money they need. Well, we're like the dentist. We just love from hand to mouth. And you have to send it, and then we use it. And when we get a little bit extra, we just get on another station and get word to more people. And so you can, and I'll tell you, here's something really wonderful. I don't understand anything about technology, but there's one technology thing that I think is just wonderful, and it's internet. And so you get us on the website, Christian Worship Hour. And then it'll say on there, donate. And you punch that thing or whatever you do, put an X there. I don't know what you do. But it'll say donate. And then it'll say PayPal. And then you can put in, I don't care where you're at in the world, you can be way off in Africa. And we here get a letter, we get gifts from the Philippines and from Norway and so on. And you put in there, I want to give so much money to the Christian Worship Hour, we'll get in American currency and we'll pay our bills. So we need to have you help us. And I know what you're saying. Well, what if I send the money and they squander it? What if he gets a sports car? 95 years old, maybe I'll get a sports car. You bet. Well, here's something. We're a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books. And do they audit our books? They drive you crazy. And then they check and see how much we get. And if we receipt everything, and then something else they do, they see how we spend it. And we have to spend it according to our budget. We have to use it for the proclamation of the gospel. So if you send a gift, it's solid as a rock. One thing else I need to mention, and that is we have a little Bible study called The New Song. And I know you'll like it. In for instance, this month, we're talking about the greatest verse in the Bible. And if you guessed John 3:16, you guessed it right. But it's a wonderful Bible study. And it's free and it's postpaid. You write to us. And those of you on shortwave, get this down. We'd love to hear from you. Christian Worship Hour, Post Office Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So we'll be waiting to hear from you. And we'll carry on as you make it possible. So now Jan's going to play, I'm going to pray, and then you just do whatever God tells you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your people. Thank you for all who pray for us and all who support us. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I know some of you have your Bibles with you there. I always try to give you a scripture lesson ahead of time, but I forgot this time. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's called the love chapter. You probably know it if you're sure are familiar with it. And we are going to look at verses 4 through 10. And then, you know, every service we pray for the persecuted church. And so in our prayer today, we'll be praying for our brothers and sisters in Nigeria. And praying for them. God bless them. We just think of them so often. So Paul writes in the beginning with the fourth verse, love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things and believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful passage that you left for us. And then there we see in this world so much grief and so much pain and so much hatred and so much division. It's not just, it's all over the world, everywhere. And it's just the devil stirring up all of civilization. And maybe it's because he knows that his time is short. Maybe you're ready to come. Maybe you'll come today. We don't know when, but we know you'll come. And so we pray that we may show love and kindness among ourselves and show that same love to the world. How the world longs for that today. And Lord, we're just thinking about our brothers and sisters in Nigeria. And we know that some of them have been put to death. They have been martyred because of, not because of anything that they have done that's wrong, but because they stand for Jesus Christ. And they say in the face of all affliction, Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the Lord of my life. I'll never renounce him. I'll never turn against him. And they die for it. And so we just thank you, Lord, that we pray that we'll take strength from these people. They are part of our family. They're part of our heritage. And so may we become stronger and more determined in our stand. And then we do pray for those left behind. We know you'll take care of them, Lord. And we know that eventually you're going to give them home, get them home with you. And we'll all get to meet each other. We'll get to visit with each other and see them. And won't that be something? So now today, bless us in this service, dear Lord. Have your way in every heart, in every life. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Barb's going to sing "The Savior is Waiting." And God bless you, Barb.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you.
Barb. And you know, that song is written with a certain scripture in mind, and that scripture is Revelation 3, verse 20, where Jesus is saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He's talking about our heart, not our house, but our heart. And he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, any woman, any child, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. And I'll sup with him, I'll fellowship with him, and I'll be with you as long as you live until you get home in heaven." And so that's what's happening when we preach the gospel, when we use the word of God. And the Holy Spirit is coming there, and the Lord Jesus is knocking. How do you say, "Well, I don't hear anything"? Well, you may not hear voices, you may not see lights, chances are you won't, but you'll just have a feeling, "I want Jesus. I think Jesus wants to come into my heart. And there's a man named Holman Hunt that drew the picture, painted a picture of Jesus at the heart's door. And they told him that when he got done, he called a friend and he says, I want you to critique this. What do you think of this picture? And the man looked at him and says, well, Hunt, you made a blunder. You don't have a doorknob out there, a door handle. And Hunt says, no, there isn't one in your heart. It's on the inside. So Jesus knocks. He'll never knock the door down. He knocks, and if it opens, you open it from the inside. And that's what's happening right now in many places, I'm just sure. I can just tell it, that Jesus is, you're having that feeling, I really want Jesus. I want him in my heart. I want him in my life. I want him to take away my sins. I want to have my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to go to heaven when I die. And so, what do? You say, dear Jesus, I'm opening my heart to you and I ask you to come in. Just come in. Take away my sin. Use your own words. Don't get fancy. Don't worry about thee and thou and all of the rest. Just talk to him in your own language. And some of you have different languages, perhaps. You just say in your own words, just talk to him and say, dear Jesus, I ask you to please come into my heart and take away my sins. I'm sorry for my sins. I'll turn from them. And then I'll serve you the best I can. And then thank him, Jesus. Thank you for saving my soul. And then you live for him. Tell somebody what you did. And then you get to, and then we'll send you literature. At the close of the service, I'll give you an address. We'll send you literature. Or read the Gospel of John. I love the Gospel of John. And if you don't have any other scripture, read the Gospel of John. So we're going to talk about love because that's why Jesus stands at your heart's door. It's because he loves you. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he suffered every indignity he possibly could suffer. That's why he was abused by men. That's why when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying. And he prayed so earnestly and he had such a terrible burden that it says he sweat as it were great drops of blood. And it says the angels came in and ministered to him. Afterwards, because the disciples were there, but they were asleep. God bless them. And so this wonderful Jesus went through all that because he loved you. And the reason he suffered so much is because he was taking your sins. And he had no sins of his own, and he was spotless and pure. And he took all the sins of all the world for all time. He took all of my sins. I hadn't even been born yet. I hadn't committed sins yet. I was just getting ready. And he paid for them. He paid for them in advance. All of my sins up until the time I accepted Jesus and the rest of my life, they're all paid for. You see, sometimes people think, well, he forgave my sins up till I accepted him, but then I'm on probation. No, you're not on probation. You're just walking with Jesus. You're not perfect. You never will be, but you strive for perfection. And it's all because he loved you. So Paul writes us through a chapter about love. And he talks about it so that we can get it on a human level, so that love is shown in our hearts and our lives. And I was reading about, for instance, when you talk about love, what do you mean? What is love? What do you mean? It's a feeling or was some kind of a sign or what? Well, I was reading the other day. For instance, here comes a teenager, and he sees a beautiful girl walking to him at school. And he clutches his heart and he says, I am in love. I think I'm in love. Now, while he's doing that across town, there's an 80-year-old woman. And she spends months by the bedside of her dying husband. And as he takes his final breath, she buries her tear-stained face in his hands and she cried, oh, how I loved him. Now, the teenager and the 80-year-old woman both talked about love, but they were worlds apart, weren't they? Because the one was a counterfeit love. It was just a counterfeit thing. But the other thing with the 80-year-old woman, it was the real thing. In the first instance, for the young man, he sees love is getting. But with the 80-year-old woman, love is giving. And that's what the kind of love we're talking about today. So Paul writes about it. And he says, love suffereth long. That means it's patient. It doesn't give up. It just keeps on loving and standing with that person. It refuses to give way to anger. It refuses to throw anybody out. It simply, it seems it's sometimes we're unjustly treated and we're resentful. We want to strike back and we just want anything done with that. There may be wounds and there be hurts, but remember what Jesus, with Jesus, when he reviled, he was reviled not again. He never turned evil for evil. He never turned against anybody. Instead, what did he do? When they nailed him to the cross, and just before he died on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He prayed for those who took his life. Now that wonderful love is with us and is with us all of life. Now, if you accept Jesus Christ, you have that love and it will never stop. But if you don't have Jesus in your heart, God's going to love you until you die. And when you die, that love stops. And then you face the judgment. After death, the judgment. After death is hell. It can be heaven if you love the Lord. And if you love the Lord, that love of Christ, the love of God carries on even into glory. But on the earthly level, only to death's door. And if you're going to find the love of God, you've got to find it in this life. And you have to make that decision. Because if you don't, you're going to have to face the wrath of God. And what does the Bible say? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And why is he angry? Because of your sins? He's angry because you rejected his son. Jesus Christ, when God gave his son, he gave the most precious thing he had. He gave the greatest of heaven, all that heaven had. And then that Father and the Son, they're the Holy Trinity. And they're the Ancient of Days, forever past and forever present. They never were apart. There never was a time they were apart except when Jesus was on the cross. And Jesus says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because God turned his back on his own son and let him die because he carried our sins and paid for our sins. And that's how he loves us. And you need to have Jesus and you'll have that love. And then it says the love suffereth long. It says love is kind. To endure wrong may be a triumph of a strong will, but to return wrong for and kindness, it takes the grace of God. And I'm going to tell you right now, when he's talking about a love here, you're never going to have this love until you have Jesus Christ, until you have God. God is love. And when we have God in our life, we have that love. And we can draw on that love and we can do that. And it isn't easy. It isn't easy for me, I can tell you. But we have to do it because God has told us. And it isn't an emotion because it's a decision. You say, well, you can't make somebody love you. Oh, yes, you can. What does God say? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. He is commanding you and me to love him. You can command it. And you make up your mind and you can love. You can handle it just that well. But you have to have God's help. And so here he is. He's talking about, and so it comes up and it's kind. And then he goes on and says, love suffereth long and is kind, and love envieth not. Love is never jealous of envious of other people. It doesn't begrudge other people that have more than we have. And maybe you think that they have so much and we have so little and it isn't fair. And so we have the riots so that the rich should give to the poor. Well, the rich should voluntarily give to the poor, but we shouldn't take it away from them. And so this wonderful love, there's so many inequalities in life. You just have to get, life is not fair. Life is filled with so much injustice and unfairness. And I see it, especially with people in older age, how they're taken advantage of so many times. Or young people are taken advantage and squander their life and do something, some terrible things. Well, this love, it sees all the inequalities of life. And it is there, believe me. But just remember, we have to have that love that'll carry on. Just think of our first birth of Adam and Eve. And think if they had their two sons and the one son kills the other son. It started way back in the Garden of Eden. And it's with us today. And all of these things because they're envious. So don't be jealous of other people. Maybe don't be jealous of their gifts and their talents. Don't be jealous of their cars and their homes. Don't be jealous of their possessions and their holdings. Don't be jealous of how they have certain breaks and opportunities that comes to way. Don't be jealous of their position in life, and never be jealous of these people, because through love we can be glad that they have all these things, and we can be thankful, and we can be like St. Paul, who said that I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And there was times that Paul had a lot, and there was time when Paul was in a dirty, lousy prison, a rotten, stinking prison, and he was content there. And he was content until he was beheaded. And so we can only do that if we have the love of Christ. Then it goes on, and Paul says, and love vaunteth not, is not puffed up. It is never boastful, is never proud. A Bible scholar named Moffat says, love makes no parade. So love never shows off and never brags. It isn't conceited, and it isn't a pride, and it isn't always wanting to have people talk to us and show how great we are and talk and think about, make us so that we swagger and we think we're somebody and we get the big head and we get proud. And you know what God says? God resisteth the proud. He is against the proud. Anybody give us grace to the humble? He tells us a pride goeth before a fall, a haughty spirit before a fall and downfall. And we need to be careful. Don't vaunt yourself. Be all puffed up and proud. Puffed up a person, they're always talking about themselves. And Moffat says, love gives itself no airs. The people who are so self-centered are always, they become contemptuous of others. And they mistreat other people, and they mishandle other people, and they condemn, and they judge, and they condemn, and they're just not right with God, and they're not right with society. And love puts us so we open the hearts are to all. And I'm going to tell you, friend, you don't know where that other person is, and you don't know the heartache and the heartbreak that they might have. You have no idea. You maybe go to church and you sit in that pew by somebody and they're smiling and they sound so happy and they sing the choruses and they sing the songs and the way they go. But inside they have a broken heart, a broken heart. And so just give a kind word, give an encouragement, say a nice word, give them a smile, whatever it is. And so they're all over the place. They're all every place. And so when Paul says, do not behave itself unseemly, never haughty, never selfish, never rude. And a Christian needs to be careful that we're kind and loving to everybody. And I think of the children, the little children. I just love those children. You can just, some of them have a hard time in life and their little hearts are aching. Maybe they don't have a good home life. Maybe they have sorrows that you can't, hard to bear. Be kind to those children and be kind to everybody. And if you have the love of Christ, if we have the love of Christ, we will look at people in a different way. Just try to look at those people. Maybe they're a little cantankerous. Maybe they cause you some trouble and problems. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher and one of those kids are driving you crazy. Well, what you have to do is just look at that child and just look at him how Jesus would look at him. How would Jesus look at that naughty little boy? He'd look at somebody that he died for. He'd look at somebody that he had a plan for. Maybe going to become a great, great leader in the Christian church. Maybe going to be a great servant to God. See, you never know. You can't tell. And so, and then it goes on. And as in the fifth verse, love seeketh not its own. Love forgets itself and isn't selfish. We often seek our own. But we're told we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. I read where one pastor said, nobody on earth ever did that. Love their neighbor as themselves. And I'm sure I don't. But Jesus did. But if we have that wonderful love in our heart, we will do that. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And so we just have to work at it. And remember, it is a command. You can do it. We can do it if we want to, if we set our mind to it. And I have these people that are having troubles in their marriages. And one of the favorite things is they'll say, I don't love her anymore. I don't love him anymore. And I was in the ministry a good number of years, 73 years. And when they would say that, I'd say, well, what's that got to do with it? And they say, well, I told you that I don't love her anymore. I said, that doesn't make a bit of difference whether you love her or not, or whether you love him or not. You made a contract. You made a promise. And you can love if you want to love. If you set your mind to it, you can do it. But you have to, but God, and God will help you to do that. And then he goes on and he says, love is not easily provoked. That simply means it's not bad-tempered. Alan Redpath comments on this, on temper. He says, actually, there is no sin that is so disrupt a home, so spoils a Christian family, so ruins children in their upbringing as sheer bad temper. It is often excused as something that people cannot help, but it demonstrates a lack of love. We may be angry at injustice and others being mistreated, and we were angry at sin, and Jesus hated sin, but he never struck back. He was never vindictive. Instead, he showed them the way. And the love of God in our soul, well, we'll find that we can love. And I'm so interested in the persecuted church, and I'm reading about them, and it tells how that they are praying for the people that persecuted them. And they had know of people that have maybe done the hurt their parents, maybe killed their parents or their children, and they pray for those, and they try to be good to them. I don't know how you could do it, but you could if you're a good Christian. And you have the help of the Lord, and that love is there. They are doing it today in the persecuted church. Then it says, thinks no evil. The Living Bible says it doesn't hold grudges. We'll hardly ever notice when another does it wrong. Love has the power to forgive and to forget and to blot out the transgressions of those against us. And so we need to be careful that how we live, that we're open toward the Lord. We're looking for his will. And then it goes in verse 6, says, it rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Moffat, and I love Moffat's translation of this passage. He says, love is never glad when others go wrong. Love is gladdened by goodness. This means that love does not delight in exposing the weaknesses of others and the weaknesses of others, because and everybody has their weakness. There's only one perfect person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we have people, we call them gossips, and we have to be careful. We always say, oh, the women, they're such awful gossips. I found out the men can be just as bad. And I don't know who's the worst. God knows that. But what a gossip. When we gossip, what we do is we think if we can tear somebody else down, it'll build us up. But when we tear other people down, we go down with them. We're in the same gutter with them. And what we have to do is love those people. And love weeps over the sins of other people instead of being happy when we see them having some great problem or having some harsh and the thing in their life, instead of rejoicing, well, you had that coming. You sure deserve that. Instead, we weep over that and we pray for those people, and our hearts goes out to those people. That's what love will do. And that's what Jesus did. He yearned over the sinners. How often he went out to find those people, the blind and the lepers and the people that didn't know which way to turn, and the people that were... In those days, leprosy, there was no cure. And Jesus would come and he would cure the leprosy, or he'd heal the blind. He was always looking for somebody to help. And that's what love does. And we have compassion for people and we care for people. And as we do that, there's a joy, there's a happiness when you can help somebody. And when you make gifts, try to make a gift that nobody knows about. And give to people where you don't think they're going to give you anything back. You know, at Christmas, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to give Aunt Nellie a certain gift. And so, well, now, okay. Now, but we have to decide about how much we're going to pay. Now, if Aunt Nellie gives us a big gift, we have to give her a big gift. And if she gives us a miserable little thing like Aunt Nellie, I read about one Aunt Nellie, and she gave a 9-year-old a pin cushion for Christmas. A pin cushion. Can you imagine that? Only Aunt Nellie would do that. And so the mother told the little girl, you must write a thank you note to Aunt Nellie. You must. And the little girl wrote, dear Aunt Nellie, thank you for the pincushion. I always wanted one, but not very bad. but she's doing the best she can. God bless her. And so when we give, try to give where nobody knows about it. I have a man in the church, and I don't know how much he's given. And every time he says, don't you put it in the bulletin, don't you tell a soul. And one of them was a riding lawnmower for the church. I don't want any accolades. And that's what really the love of Christ does. Well, let's hurry along here. It says, love believes all things, verse 77. Not that love is blind, oh no, but love always looks for right from wrong. It tries to find some good in everybody, and it never gives up on anybody. We're always praying for them. We're always believing in them. You know, there's some people, they are always so suspicious. They're always suspecting something. They're all seeing an ulterior motive for what people do. And give them the benefit of a doubt and pray for these people. And then the seventh verse, love hopes all things. When love is disappointed, when somebody lets you down, when they leave you or turn you down, well, then we're told that love is hopes all things. That is, it never gives up. It never despairs. It hopes for better days. It believes that something's going to happen and things are going to change. But we never, ever give up. Until that man goes to his grave, we pray for him. But after death, the judgment, there's no use praying then. It's all settled, all done. So then Paul closes. And he says, love endures all things. Verse 7, love cannot be conquered. You just cannot beat it. It stays there and it won't give up. This means that when the one you trusted in has let you down, you love and believe on. And when you've had high hopes and they fail and it falls flat, love believes and still believes and never gives up. In the day of defeat, love goes on. And I've seen that with mothers and grandmothers. Seems like it's always the mothers and the grandmothers. What are these grandpas? But they are good grandpas too. But this mother's love, and she just never gives up, and she just won't give up. And she goes to her death. I've seen this happen where a mother prays for a son or a daughter, prays that they'll come to Jesus. That's what you're praying most of all, that they'll come to Jesus. And they pray that that person comes to Jesus. And she goes on her deathbed and she dies. And she never sees that daughter come to Jesus. But later on, she will see that daughter come to Jesus because that daughter will think about her mother. And I've worked with people that they say, I want to come to the Lord. My mother prayed for me and I want to do that. And so they pray and accept Jesus. And you know what happens when they accept Jesus? Mother sees it. You know how come I know mother sees it? Because we're told that in heaven there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Now it says in the presence of the angels, that means the Holy Trinity is celebrating when one sinner repents. And all the redeemed sees that soul repent. And mother sees that child come. She never gives up and then pays off many times. And I wonder if there isn't somebody here today and somebody prayed for you and now they're gone. Maybe they're praying for you and they're still here. And you need to pray and say, dear Jesus, I want to be your child. I want to have that kind of love in my life. I want to be a person that brings joy and happiness. I want to be a person that I don't want to see what I can get from others. I want to see what I can give to others, like that 80-year-old woman taking care of her husband till he breathed his last. And I want you to come into my life. And you say, dear Jesus, I just ask you to come into my life and take away my sins. And I'll forsake them the best I can. And I'll follow you as long as I live. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you did that, you write to us. We'll send you literature. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you write to us wherever you are in the world, and we will send you literature on how you can start growing in grace. If you made that prayer, you're a Christian right this minute. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You've been born again. You may not know it, but you're a child of God and you will be forever. And so you just pray, just write to us and let us know. We'll send you some literature and get you on the way. and then we're going to pray for you. And we will always pray for the shut-ins. We want you to know that we think about you and pray for you all the time. So we're going to pray right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to pray today that you'll help, first of all of these who've opened their heart to you. And we just pray that you'll help them as they get started in the Christian life and that they rejoice in the Savior. We pray for the shut-ins and we pray for those that are lonely. We pray for the young people that are struggling and having troubles and trials in life. They're facing temptations, Lord, that we never faced before. It's fears, but you love them and help them to just, that's in their own way, just to ask Jesus into their heart. Then help them to read the Gospel of John and help them to get to a church where they're preaching the Bible and walk with you and serve you. We just pray that you'll bless all, everyone that's worshiped with us today. And we don't know what their needs are, but you know the needs. Bless and help and strengthen in the love of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're happy that you're with us, been able to be with us. We're going to ask you to write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then next week, we're going to have a sermon, and we're going to talk about being a better Christian, how we grow as a Christian after we accept Jesus. Then what do we do, and how do we get around to growing and become stronger in the faith, and so we can be great servants of the Lord? And I know you're going to like it. So pray for us. Tell your friends about us. God loves you. We love you. And we'll see you next week, God willing.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.